locations, 1235 Washington Avenue downtown or 12796 Manchester, just west of 270. Rosalita's Cantina, Tex-Mex, done right.
Blue Chip was started by Scott and Pat Phillips with little more than a Volkswagen Beetle, a little bit of luck, and a whole lot of work. Since then, Blue Chip has grown into one of the nation's largest and most recognized pest control firms while still being the hometown St. Louis company. Now moving into our third generation, Blue Chip is just as focused with a commitment to training and professionalism that are unmatched in our industry. We are experts at what we do, which simply put is protecting your home, your business, and your family. Go to stlbugs.com to learn more.
Finally, St. Louis, finally the wait is over for an upscale airport lounge that accommodates every type of traveler. I could not be more excited to be a member of the Wingtips Lounge, located in Terminal 2 at the St. Louis Lambert International Airport. Complimentary amenities include creative small bites, Caldi's coffee, organic teas, beer, wine, and spirits. The lounge features high-speed Wi-Fi, wireless printing capabilities, in-lounge restrooms, and power outlets at every seat. Wingtips offers single-visit passes or annual memberships. Stop by before your next flight.
Eagle Coin and Stamp Company has been serving the St. Louis area for over 25 years. They buy and sell stamps, coins, medals, and sports memorabilia. In fact, it's where 590 The Fan goes for our promotional items. Here are some items of interest. American Silver Eagles, 110 and 100-ounce silver bars and rounds.
Gold American Eagles, Maple Leafs and Krugerrands.
Graf Zeppelins,
Estate, new and silver jewelry.
Three-legged buffalo nickels, wheat pennies, Morgan and Peace silver dollars,
euros, pounds, Swiss francs, and other foreign currencies.
If sports stuff for the man cave is your thing, they also have Musial and Mantle vintage sports cards, Topps baseball card sets, plus signed sports apparel and helmets.
Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 5:30, and Saturday till 4.
Eagle Coin and Stamp Company on Highway 50 in O'Fallon, Illinois is the place for buying and selling.
Yeah, this will get you up and going.
Yeah.
Feel good music. Oh, wait. You know, there's some songs like Steve Winwood, Roll With It, or John Mellencamp, Hurt So Good, that just, man, you just want to drive faster. That song makes you want to pull over and take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a place for both. Dan Buffa is in the green room, and he's about to come out any moment. Just a little sort of inside information. I can't give you an inside actual look because of, I don't know, security reasons. But this station treats people so well. Our green room, he's in there now getting a massage, a full body massage, which I'm sure they're wrapping up now because he's going to have to do some movie stuff. There's a hot tub in there.
Yeah.
There's a sauna and steam room. There is a difference. We have the hot coals, hot stone steam room, and a sauna, and a hot tub, and a lap pool, and a masseuse, and a, what's the female? Is masseuse is a guy?
Is
that a woman?
A masseuse is just a masseuse, the person that gets massage.
What's a masseur?
I don't know.
I think one's a male and one's, well, look.
Masseur is out
Randy
in
Markell.
Field. Oh, that's manure.
Randy Markell, one of the reasons I came to work here is when he started laying out all the amenities, all the perks. Frank, we got a green room for everybody's going to be on, and it's got a lap pool, it's got a hot tub, sauna, steam, hot coals. He goes through this whole thing. I thought, this is something I want to be a part of. So sometimes when somebody like Dan Buffa comes on, if they seem kind of tired, that's just relaxed. He's overly relaxed.
This is a simple answer. Masseur is male, masseuse is female.
I believe I was right.
Wow.
Love it when that happens. There's also a barber and a hairdresser in there. When they say the whole nine yards, which I'm not sure what that means. I think it's from way, way back when tent makers, I don't know. But it is the whole nine yards. So he'll be with us in a moment to talk about movies while we wait for him to get out here. I just have a quick little observation about something that's in the news lately. These jewelry stores are getting hit. Sounds to me like somebody needs to know this name, Gateway Lock and Security. Seriously, I keep hearing about these robberies. Somebody's smart enough to look up and know, hey, Gateway hasn't put any cameras up here, and they probably didn't also, these people bother to buy this or the thing that keeps you from kicking in the door, so let's just go in and get some jewelry. My advice to all of them would be, why don't you contact Gateway Lock and Security? The same advice that I would have for anybody in business. A lot of this also applies to residential property. Now, it's understandable, back in the old days, when we didn't have the option of high-definition security cameras or special commercial locks and all that stuff. My wife used to work at a place in downtown St. Louis called Anchor Distributing. I don't know how many of you remember, they were called catalog stores. There was service merchandise, there was Dolgens, there was actually a store called Best before Best Buy, and they were all catalog stores, meaning they put out these great catalogs and you could pick out what you like. You go in there, and it's a hard concept now to describe because it's archaic, but she worked at the jewelry counter, and we hadn't been married, I don't even think, but maybe 3 or 4 years max, and a guy came in, and it was my wife and another woman both standing behind the jewelry counter, and he walked in, pulled a gun, and had him start cleaning stuff out of the jewelry counter. Now, he's standing 3 feet, 2 feet, three max from my wife, right in front of her. And the security guard at that store, who was in his mid-60s, 2 weeks away from retirement, got up to go to the water fountain. When stores all had water fountains. Remember water fountains where you lean over, you push the metal pedal down with your foot and the water would come out? And he went to get a drink. And the guy, the robber, because the water fountain was in the direction of the guy robbing the jewelry counter, he just assumed that somehow or other the security guy was coming toward him, and he shot him and killed him right in front of my wife. When the casings ejected from the gun, they actually landed, hit my wife's jacket. That's how close he was. He killed him right in front of her. Killed him. And, of course, back then, you couldn't go, well, let's go look, just take a look at the footage. There was no footage. There was very little. In fact, there weren't any real sophisticated alarm systems to speak of. So, in those days, people had excuses for not preventing certain things, for not being able to find the bad guy. We don't have that excuse anymore. We got the greatest technology in the world, and I'll tell you who has access to all of it: Gateway Lock and Security. And smart people. There are two kinds of smart people. Smart people smart enough to put this stuff in themselves. Very few of those. The other kind of smart people are the people smart enough to know that they're not smart enough to put the security systems in or the cameras in themselves. Let people like Gateway do that. Now, when we're talking about more than just cameras here, we're talking about commercial door locks and door closers and master key systems and proximity card systems and magnetic locks and electric strikes and panic bars, exit devices. I mean super high security stuff to keep the people who shouldn't be in, keep them on the outside, and to make sure that if you have somebody exit that you want out of the building, off the premises, they can't turn around and come back in. Master key systems, cabinet locks. A lot of this stuff you can do in homes, and there are home builders now turning to people like Gateway Lock and Security to come on in and be part of the building process, because the homeowner, the person building the new home, has asked for commercial type security devices. So they have some things that haven't been around that long. This thing that keeps people from, it's these anti-kick devices that keep people from being able to push a door open. Forget a chair behind the door. Forget a wedge under the door. Forget a lot of stuff, because you are not getting this door open. And I have to tell you, the school stuff, the thought of, you know, teachers locking students in the room, it's a horrifying thought, but it's not quite as horrifying if you know, no matter what, that guy is not going to get in this room. And it's not going to happen with just a lock on the door. Gateway Lock and Security can show you how to keep anybody from opening any door. They're really good at what they do. So whether it's for your business, your home, here's the name you should know, Gateway Lock and Security. You can find out more at gatewaylockandsecurity.com.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
all go to the yeah. lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
I'll have a large regular Coke. If you don't have Coke, I'll take a large Dr. Pepper because my wife won't drink Pepsi and she'll probably share it with me. I'll have a big soft pretzel and a large popcorn, a little bit of butter or that motor oil or whatever that stuff is they put on there, and peanut M&Ms, thank you. How much will that be? What? $68?
Yeah.
Well, that's the way it goes. Let's go to the movies. Here's the guy who's going to take us there. He's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, and for lots of good reasons. Give it up for the man who, look how relaxed he is. Look how refreshed a massage. Nothing like a massage.
He's got a tan,
and a little
too.
Sauna. Oh, I didn't mention that. A complete six tanning beds.
Oh, yeah.
Six tanning beds. Two of them for couples. They're couples beds where, you know, two people can get in there. And whether he's in there with anybody or not, that's his business. Hang on a second.
He was?
Okay, Randy Markell says he was in the couple's bed with him tanning. Well, that's their business. Give it up, please, if you would, for Dan Buffa.
Dan, I'm so
Hello, Dan.
Right, I'm so relaxed right now.
Yeah, I hope you're able to stay awake through this.
I will, at least for the 20 minutes before I can go back to my tanning bay with an open bar right next to it.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't mention that. Open bar, that's right. That's in the green room, too.
Open bar.
I have the origin of the whole nine yards.
You do?
Yeah.
I mean, it has to do with either
Burt Reynolds.
Material in wartime or tents or awnings or clothing at a tailor.
What and we had heard this once before, and when this guy, it kind of jarred my memory when he called and told me it has to do with concrete. The concrete trucks hold nine yards of concrete. And when they would pour it, he said that usually the crews could only accept 7 yards, but then sometimes they'd say, give me a whole 9 yards. And that's the origin
We've
of
We've learned
work.
Something today.
Yeah.
I tell you, Dan's
well, it's the learning show.
Dan's are important.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
Good story, well, Dan.
Yeah. I think in every show, one Dan is important. You guys can figure out which one it is. Now, Dan, I saw the other night, and it wasn't very long, maybe half an hour, I saw a tremendous sort of mini-documentary on the making of Isle of Dogs. I've never seen anything like this. There were 600 people employed to produce this.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm talking about 600 people, animators, claymation, making the figurines, this gigantic facility with 600 people all working on making this movie, and that's just the animation part of it.
Let me tell
you. It's a big deal production.
Let me tell you, this movie, and I'm not a Wes Anderson fan, usually not a big fan of his work, this is one of my favorite movies of the year. It is an animated film that is actually more suited for adults than kids. And you're not going to see that often. But it's really good. It's got a lot of humor in it. And I'll tell you, the voice work of Bryan Cranston, Liev Schreiber, those two guys are just great. And they have great voices. Edward Norton actually chose the work. Jeff Goldblum, Bill Murray. It's just the whole cast. And the movie takes place in Japan. The mayor, Kobayashi, has basically sent all these dogs to this abandoned island because they have the dog flu. And that includes the ward to the mayor, Atari, who is a 12-year-old boy who loses his dog. So he goes looking for his dog. He goes searching to this island of dogs, and he kind of meets up with Bryan Cranston's dog, who is called Chief. And it's just the voice work in this movie is so well. But that's the whole basis of the movie. It's about a boy trying to find his dog, who is called Spot, who is voiced by Liev Schreiber, who was assigned to protect the boy. But when there's this big dog flu, essentially imagine if people went into everybody's apartments and houses in the world and pulled all the dogs out. Imagine what kind of hysteria that would cause. And they put them all on this island. That is the makeup of this movie. And again, I go into it thinking I'm not a big Wes Anderson fan. You know, he's very eccentric. So, you know, you have Grand Budapest Hotel, Life Aquatic with Bill Murray. There was
the Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, I mean, they're not bad movies. They're just kind of like not my kind of movie. It's very eccentric, very odd, dry humor. But this movie, I feel like he's been kind of preparing this one for a while. And I do think
well,
that
sometimes when you sit in the theater and you watch a trailer, and I saw this a trailer for this in the theater. When you sit there and go, "Oh my goodness, I can't wait to see this," that's how good just the trailer is. And it really I'm really looking forward to this. And I'm not usually one to go to animated stuff.
And the voice, the cast is incredible. I mean, again, they get Edward Norton. They have Greta Gerwig.
Ralphie Boy.
Who's just nominated for an Oscar. They have Bryan Cranston. And again, the whole movie, it's an hour and 41 minutes. It's hilarious. And I will say that as far as kids, if it's a 6-year-old, like my son couldn't make it through it. It's just the humor, it's way above his head. But if it's maybe 12 to 15 years old, that's the kind of kid it's more suited for. But this is more for adults. You're not going to see that.
I have a feeling my grandson at 4, I don't know if he's going to make it through it or not, but from what I could tell, we've all seen Claymation, but the way they did this, I think if you didn't have any sound or story, just watching what they did is something.
It really is. And you have a pack of dogs that has Edward Norton and Goldblum and also Bill Murray, and they all... They take these votes, and of course they're led by Chief Bryan Cranston, who's basically this stray dog, and they'll be in the middle of a hot situation, and then Norton will go, "Well, let's take a vote," and they're getting ready to get captured. And they get ran off. It's just hilarious. I mean, and you see Norton, who does really good work here. Again, Edward Norton doesn't work enough. He's a guy that just kind of chooses roles very meticulously these days. So to see him with Jeff Goldblum and Bill Murray, and Bryan Cranston, I swear, he challenges Morgan Freeman and Sam Elliott for one of the best voices in movies, because he has a big role here, and he plays a very important part. And again, I think this is a funny movie. It's also political, but it doesn't saturate you into politics. It's just kind of funny. It's more like a kind of a quirky pop culture flick.
I liked Bryan Cranston a lot more before he started mouthing off about his politics. And I don't know why these people don't understand that if you would shut up about politics, you would have a bigger following. You'd have a bigger fan base, because when you do that, you alienate a lot of people. And I'm not one of these people that's ever going to say, well, I'm never going to go see a fill-in-the-blank Rosie O'Donnell movie, a Bryan Cranston. I'm not going to do that, because if we did that, if we all refused to go to see the art, whatever form it is, of anybody because they're gay, because they're on the other side of the aisle, because you couldn't go to anything. You couldn't see anything. So they need to shut up and not let us know their political leanings, and then there's nothing to dislike. You either like or don't like what they produce in the way of art. And Cranston, no doubt, is a brilliant actor. He is.
It's like when you go to the concert and the musician wants to do his politics, but for like 10 minutes between like Bruce Springsteen. I love the guy. I think he's a great performer, but he will take 10 minutes between songs at a concert, and you think people in the crowd are going, "Man, I came here for a little CNN with Bruce Springsteen." No, he came here for a song.
Why doesn't anybody yell out, "Hey, Bruce, shut up.
Shut up.
And just sing"? Why don't they do that?
You know who did that?
I had always wondered what the big deal was about Wayne Newton. I heard Mr. Las Vegas. So he comes to the Fox Theater years ago, and out of curiosity, I bought a couple of tickets. I went to see Wayne Newton. One of the worst concerts I've ever heard. And part of what made it so bad is what you just said. He comes out and he does that. But then he breaks into this, the way we've mistreated the American Indians crap. And he says, telling everybody, I'm part Indian. I'm 1/4 Cherokee or something. And I just want to stand up and go, "Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
And he wasn't treated that bad.
No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. And he can't sing anymore either. And I wanted to jump up and say that, too. Not only do we not want to hear this, you can't even sing. It was horrible. I don't know why they feel like they have to do that.
And one of the best bits from Andrew Dice Clay is where he talks about Barbara Streisand. And he went and saw her, and he was like,
Hold on, stop. Oh. Limey, he just said Barbara Streisand.
Wait.
We're waiting. No, we're waiting for the sound of her face.
I know. There we go.
There you go. So, sir, here's what I'd like to do, Dan, if you don't mind. I'd like to edit that out, and we're going to do this over, and we're going to give Limey a chance to show off his skills here. So let's back it up.
Let's back it up.
And I want you to pick up Dan.
But
thank you, Dan. Dan Buffa, I want you to pick up where you said, who was it was talking about Streisand?
Andrew Dice Clay.
Okay, pick it up there. It goes just with the Dice Clay thing. 3, 2, 1, go.
Andrew Dice Clay had a great bit about Barbara Streisand. Where he
essentially, that's the sound of her face.
Where he was like, because he like, he'd be sitting there going, you know, so I sit there and I have the tape recorder ready. I'm ready for some tunes. And what is she doing? She's talking about the rainforest in Asia. And I'm like, Barbara, sing the song. Sing it. It's just, she comes on the stage, every song she keeps talking about politics. I didn't come here for a lesson or a lecture. Sing the song, Barbara.
If you're going to quote him, Dan, do it. Put all the F-bombs in it. Do it again now with all the F-bombs.
Why me get ready? There's like 17 of them.
There was an old lady who lived in a shoe. She had so many kids. Her uterus fell out. Hey!
So Isle of Dogs comes out tomorrow. Isle of Dogs comes out tomorrow in theaters, but I will tell you there's another animated film that I was kind of let down by. And this is cool. I took my kid to a screening on Thursday night. I took the real critic, my 6-year-old son, to Sherlock Gnomes. And, of course, it's a sequel to Rome. Is it?
Gnomeo and Juliet.
Gnomeo and Juliet.
Gnomeo.
It's so great. But this sequel was bad, man. Johnny Depp voices Sherlock Holmes, and I will tell you, he basically did Jack Sparrow as Sherlock Holmes, the whole movie. And it's a very predictable movie. It's familiar. I'll tell you what. Parents will be bored. I look down at my kid, who's 6 years old, and gets, if he's into a movie, he'll be out of his seat. He was almost asleep. And that's just right there. That's it.
Yeah, that says it all.
He said, after the movie, he's like, Dad, let's not watch this movie ever again. And my son likes to watch movies over and over. I think I've watched Toy Story about 95 times. I know it by heart.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't want to go just because of the title. It's stupid, Sherlock Gnomes. It's like really.
It's a rip.
Have you done better than
it's
that?
It's essentially Sherlock Holmes trying to save all the gnomes in the garden, and it's very predictable. And again, Johnny Depp, I got a little excited about that, but he basically phones in the performance. It's not good. So Isle of Dogs over Sherlock Gnomes. But I did go out and see a movie that I wanted to see, and I missed the screening. I saw Tomb Raider with the gorgeous Alicia Vikander. And again, we all know Angelina Jolie did two of these movies over a decade ago.
But what's her name? Alicia what?
Alicia Vikander. She is Swedish.
Great name.
She won an Oscar, and she was in, I want to say, not Theory of Everything. She's in a lot of good stuff. She was in a movie called Ex Machina with Oscar Isaacs, and it's really good. But in this movie, they basically go off the video game. Instead of just making a silly movie with Angelina Jolie, they give Alicia Vikander a good role as real stunts. There's no CGI, and Walter Goggins plays the bad guy. If you've ever watched a show called Justified on FX with Timothy Oliphant,
somebody just told us yesterday that we should watch that.
It's a great series. Justified. He plays the bad guy, Boyd Crowder. So whenever Walter Goggins plays a bad guy, I'm in. And here, it's all about the origin tale of Laura Croft, where she's looking for her dad, who went off looking for supernatural beings in the mountains, and he got lost. And, of course, Walter Goggins is the evil mercenary who wants to find the treasure. And, of course, Laura Croft, who could basically sign her name and become a millionaire, but she has to pronounce her dad dead, and she will not do that. So she goes off looking for her dad, finds good old Boyd Crowder in the mountains, and they fight. And that's basically the movie, but it's a great guilty pleasure flick. And I was thinking this movie might just be one of those reboots where they just try to make a little money, but they did it right. This movie is so much better than the Angelina Jolie movies because it's not 50% CGI. It is a lot of real old-fashioned stunts, and you get an Oscar winner who didn't just take a role to cash in on her award. She really fits this role, unlike even Angelina Jolie, who's a beautiful actress, and she's an Oscar winner, and she's great, but this actually goes off the video game, and the movie's very good. It's been out for about a week and a half. Again, I missed the screening. It happens when your babysitter drops out an hour before your screening. I can't do it, sorry. So I had to wait and see this film, but it is very good. If you just turn off your brain a little bit, look at Alicia Vikander, who spends the whole film in a tank top, essentially. And she's very good, and she gives a good performance. And, of course, Dominic West, who everybody knows as McNulty on The Wire, he plays her dad, Richard Croft. And he's good. He's got a good role in it. But there you go. Tomb Raider. Don't forget about it. It's been out a week and a half. It's going to start moving out because when Avengers comes out in 4 weeks, the rest of the movies are going to cease to matter. So go watch Tomb Raider. So a thumbs up. I say a couple good thumbs
don't
up.
Don't tell me what to do.
He just did.
I did, and I will.
Oh, that's right. He did. What else you got?
So Frank, you are going to go see Isle of Dogs, right? You're going to go. Are you seeing it tomorrow? Are you seeing it Thursday or Friday?
We were going to try to see it. Well, no later than this weekend. But yeah, he's not quite five yet. But I think the animation. Forget him understanding the story. I think it'll hold him. I really
it
do.
Will.
We'll
it,
see.
It will. I mean, in the movie, it moves. It doesn't like it doesn't have a lot of slow parts to it. The movie, it's 1 hour and 41 minutes. It doesn't have too many slow. The pacing's really good. So I think he might get through it. And just give him a lot of popcorn and candy, and they'll think it's great.
That's pretty long for an animated movie, isn't it?
Yeah, usually, I'll tell you, like, Sherlock Gnomes was 82 minutes. I mean, thankfully, it was very short. But Isle of Dogs doesn't feel long. It's very good. But this Friday, and I'll have a full review next week, Ready Player One, Steven Spielberg's Ooh. Movie.
What's it called?
Ready Player One is one of those futuristic virtual reality movies. It is set in 2045. So this is a director that made a movie nominated for Best Picture, my favorite movie of last year, The Post. He goes from 1971 Pentagon Papers to 2045. He adapts a book, a very popular book. So everybody's going to be watching this with skeptical eyes. But I can tell you I watched it last night, and it is a blast. I mean, essentially the movie takes place in 2045. It's based around the Oasis, which is created by a guy, a brilliant mind, where people can basically, you enter virtual reality, you can leave your real life and be whatever you want. You can be Freddy Krueger, you can be in The Shining, you can be the Iron Giant, and when he dies, he basically creates this race to find the three keys, and if you get the three keys, you own everything. You own his stock. You own the Oasis. You basically own the world. So it is based on a book, a very celebrated novel by Ernest Hill. It is Steven Spielberg doing what he does best. He taps into the emotional core. And this is after telling a real-life story in The Post. No other director can do this. I just want to make this clear that Spielberg is kind of like showing off to all the young directors and all the people that think they're on top of their games. He makes an Academy Award nominated picture in The Post, then he makes this kind of movie, and it just tells you how much of a great director he is. And of course, he taps.
Don't you think he may very well be like the greatest film director in history ever?
I think he is. I don't think Scorsese could do this, and he's probably right there in the top five. Okay, so if you go down from Spielberg, who else can do that? I don't think Martin can go from 1971 Pentagon Papers to 2045. Virtual reality. That's what Steven Spielberg's doing.
Scorsese's movie, to me, there's a sort of a... They all have like a common denominator.
Yeah.
It's a running sort of... Spielberg, you could take two of his blockbuster movies and you wouldn't even realize they're done by the same guy.
And he's
an innovator. I don't think of Scorsese as an innovator.
No.
I think of Spielberg as an innovator. He and George Lucas. But here's the true test as to how great a director is. Ask the average person how many movie directors they can even name. I'll bet you they can't name more than five.
And I guarantee
you. And Spielberg will be one.
If you go on the street and talk to 10 people, Spielberg's going to be named by like 10 of them. 10 out of 12.
I agree.
But I will say that in this movie, you know, you get a little bit of E.T., you get a little bit of Minority Report with Tom Cruise, which is a very underrated Spielberg film. It's not as big as, like, Saving Private Ryan, but it's got a lot of 80s pop culture in it. Because, essentially, in this game, you can go back as whatever character you want. Like, there's one person who goes back as the Iron Giant, or one person you can put yourself in The Shining, the hotel they stayed in, and get scared by all the kids and stuff. It's a movie that taps into anybody who grew up in the 80s will love this movie, but it's also just a pure escapism. You will not think about real life. It's satisfying, it's entertaining, and again, for a 2-hour and 10-minute movie, it flies. I mean, just the pacing in this movie is great. That comes out Friday.
This is a very special day and moment right now, because what you don't realize is I sat here and I just jotted down what I think is one of the all-time great ideas for a movie, and I'm going to turn this into a screenplay. Yes, it's it's taken from another idea, Spielberg idea. You mentioned him. You know, everybody knows the movie E.T.
Yeah.
When you started talking about it, I just made a couple of quick notes. I'm going to try to get a hold of him and say, I'm giving you first shot at this, Steve. And my story is about an alien creature. And he has no eyes or arms or legs. He's just like a 3-foot-tall penis. He can move around but he slumps forward and he cannot. The whole movie is about him seeking help, trying to hold his little head up, and he can't. It's called ED.
Who starred in that movie?
An alien penis. He can't. You know, I haven't decided yet.
Danny
who
DeVito
will be the voice. Danny the voice DeVito. Of ED. Well, it's a voice. It's animated. So,
Charlie
Day. ED is not a real being. He's just an alien penis.
Dan Strauss.
He cannot hold his head up.
Yeah.
He can't hold his head up.
Dan could do an ED voice.
Yeah. Or John Hadley.
Yeah.
Actually, Dan, you do the voice of ET, don't you?
Yeah.
ET phone home? Can you do that?
Well,
I think you did. I thought you did.
Elliot.
Okay, you don't do it.
No.
I was wrong. That's anything else, Dan?
I want to say happy birthday to Quentin Tarantino, who gave us so many good movies. Well, what's your favorite Quentin Tarantino film, guys? Mine is Pulp Fiction. Still is.
I don't like almost anything he's ever done.
I don't like
the way he thinks. I don't like his message. His violence. I just don't like. Plus, he's the only guy I've ever seen who, at his age, looks like he has no teeth.
He looks like
he doesn't have any teeth. They definitely acquire.
Does he not have teeth?
Oh, he's got teeth, but you don't really want to see him. They're not attractive teeth. Let's put it that way. But Pulp Fiction, Bruce Willis's best performance, I will say. Reservoir Dogs is good. I didn't like Django Unchained though.
I thought that was a good movie.
See, I didn't even know until you just said it. I didn't even know Bruce Willis was in Pulp Fiction.
He played Butch Coolidge, the punch drunk boxer who basically goes against does not throw the fight. And runs over Ving Rhames with a car. And it's a great role. It's his best role.
I think in my life, we've only gotten up and walked out of three movies. One was a movie called, I hope I got this right, Urban Legend, where it was a movie about urban legends. We got up and walked out in Pulp Fiction, same thing. It was horrible. And all I heard was how great it was. Very similar to The Artist, when everybody was talking about,
because they felt like they
had to act like they liked it because it was the thing to do. It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and it won the Academy Award.
It's basically the film snobs loving it. Oh, it's a silent movie. Oh, it's so hard. No, it's not hard. You just don't say anything. They just stand there and do stuff. It's a silent movie.
My parents love Kill Bill. It's their favorite movie.
Oh, I love Kill Bill. Kill Bill 2.
If you want to see hypocrisy at its greatest. Hypocrisy at its greatest.
Where he compares
phony people.
David Carradine, where he compares her to Superman, is probably one of the best speeches of all time. But I also want to say.
Is my mic even on?
Yeah.
I almost
yeah. He,
just,
he was just ignoring
me. I was trying to talk, and then Dan just kept talking over me.
I just ran over you.
If you want to see the best example of people acting like they get something they don't really get because they think they need to, go to Frontenac, to the theater there, to any artsy film, and then when it's over, as you walk out, rather than hearing people tell the truth saying this, what a stupid movie, I didn't even get it, they'll go, well, that's one of the great performances, you know. And they're all full of crap. They didn't even like it or understand it, but they won't admit it.
And it's funny.
That was just fantastic.
And plus, the Frontenac, those movies play there for 5 months, 8 weeks, that they're there forever. Usually at like the Tivoli or Esquire, you're there for 2 or 3 weeks unless you're doing great, unless you're Black Panther or an Avengers flick. But yeah, you'll leave there, and I get this whenever I leave a screening and all the film critics gather around, well, what'd you think, Dan? There's one time where everybody loved the movie, and I just simply said, I'm never getting that hour and 45 minutes back. That was terrible. And I had the most looks, and I loved it because everybody else loved the movie.
Because you told the truth.
I did. I was like, that was the most annoying, unsatisfying piece of crap that I've ever seen in my whole lifetime. Like, how dare you say that about that artsy fancy, all shiny movies. Like, no, it sucked. I mean, because there's some movies.
I'll tell you, the recent one that fits in that category is Shape of Water. But because it got such, inside the business accolades, people are reluctant to say, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I saw it, and that's all I said was, what a weird movie. It wasn't a great movie. The performance by Michael Shannon was great, but the movie's just flat out weird. A woman having sex with a water beast.
That's really? It.
What the hell?
Yeah, my sentiments exactly, Randy.
Come on over here, baby. You look hot.
All right, now you want to wrap this up, or do you have more?
I'll wrap it up, but I will have to push back the best baseball movies till next week when the season is officially in full swing. Get your best baseball films ready, guys. But for now, I'm Dan Buffo.
What if we throw... don't close yet. What if we throw right now, each of us right now throws out what
That's
we
it.
Think right now is
Off
our best baseball movie, and then we'll have some time to think about it by next week. But I can tell you right now, The Natural with Robert Redford. Dan Strauss?
I like Field of Dreams.
Want to have a catch,
Kim?
Dad?
I like For Love of the Game with Kevin Costner.
Oh, here you go. Clear out the mechanism.
There are a bunch of good ones. All right, we'll fine tune it next week.
Oh, that's fine. Nobody cares about my good baseball movie.
Well, me too.
No, I'm sorry.
Hey,
you know what?
Hey,
I'm sorry.
No, me too.
No, stop. Right, well, stop a minute. First of all, you're right. Nobody does care. But we shouldn't have overlooked you. We should not have overlooked you. Limey, what do you think is the greatest baseball movie?
Angels in the Outfield.
Danny Glover. Oh. Yes.
Yes.
My favorite film, baseball film, was Bull Durham. Kevin Costner, Crash Davis. You hit the bull.
And a close second would be Bad News Bears, if that counts as a baseball movie.
Walter Matthau, right?
Chico's Bail Bonds.
Drinking a beer in the dugout.
Chico's Bail Bonds on the Little League sponsor shirts.
I love it. I just
What about League of Their Own? We're already doing next week's show. What about League of Their Own?
Oh, I love
another
that
another great movie.
That would be my second.
Davis. Cap and he goes, forget you, up yours, Tom Cruise. This is so good.
We're going to stop there. We're going to go through every baseball movie ever made. Now you can do the close.
Well, I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of.
So have we. So have we. Thank you, Dan. There he goes. Back to the green room. Dan Buffa brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States of America for lots of good reasons, and you'll find out what they are when you have them come out and give you a free estimate. 18 months financing, same as cash with approved credit. Window World, WindowWorldSt.Louis.com. Bill Cleveland should be on the way here in a couple of minutes. I have enough time, just enough time, to remind you that although I know that most people listening right now, the great majority of you, are not interested now in having your kitchen or bathroom remodeled. I'd say that's probably true. Most of you aren't. But if you stay in the house you're in any time at all and won't take long, you will be, because you're going to have to make a decision. You're either going to have to sell that house and get another one, build a new house, or how about this best option? Keep the house if you like it. You like the neighborhood. You like the school district. You like everything about it, but you can't stand the kitchen. You've had it. You just had it. Bathroom. You'd love to have the kind of master bathroom that you've seen either in other people's homes or online or on the Better Homes and Garden TV channel or wherever. Well, you can. You can keep that house and have that bathroom or that kitchen. And there are lots of companies who will tell you they'd love to transform that for you. You just have to be real careful and do some homework so that you know who it is you're hiring to do that. First of all, what you want is a total and complete remodel. Unless you just want cabinets changed. But most people, when they're ready, they're ready to do it right. Top to bottom, wall to wall, completely remodel the kitchen or bathroom, which is where we are more than happy to recommend Thompson Price. We like to say that if you will make sure the name Price is in at least one of the companies you're speaking with, then you're on the right track. And I think we know which one you're going to go with. And the reason we say that is there is another company that has a similar name. It's not Thompson Price, because price is not in the name. So just remember that word price, because price is also important for another reason. It's possible, it's easy, in fact, to pay money and not get what you pay for. When people use the expression, well, you get what you pay for. No, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you don't get what you paid for, and sometimes you pay far more than you should have paid. With Thompson Price, it's not going to be cheap, because the work isn't cheap. But it's also not going to be overpriced. When it's finished, for years after that, you're going to say to yourself, wow, we got every dollar's worth. What a great value. Are we glad we went with Thompson Price? It's a little more work on your part. because they're going to want to know more about you and what you want than the other companies will. They are. Their process is a little more in-depth, but it has to be, because what they want is what you want, the perfect kitchen or the perfect bathroom, and that's different things to different people. Thompson Price, please contact them. We don't care if you talk to two or three, four or five other companies. Just include them. Thompson Price. Showroom is in De Pere, less than a quarter mile east of 270. As you're headed east, it's on the left side of the road next to McAllister's Deli. And, of course, their website, thompsonprice.com.
Time for a check on traffic with Tory Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Edible Arrangements. Bumper to bumper westbound 44 approaching Kings Highway 2 Shrewsbury. Accident blocking westbound 44 at 141. Stall cleared southbound 55 at Weber Road. Also cleared an accident southbound 55 at Loughborough. Traffic stacking up at 3200 South Broadway. Accidents clear east and westbound 70 in the depressed section. A traffic incident southbound 270 south in the McKelvey Overpass. A second incident north of Dorset on southbound 270. Celebrate the season with Easter gifts from Edible Arrangements. The Easter Bunny Celebration. Easter berries handcrafted with delicious fruit and decorated to perfection with chocolate-dipped pineapple bunnies and daisies. Visit edible.com or your local Edible Arrangements store. I'm Tory Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Oh, hey, this is Tom from Salt and Smoke. Has Pauly Shore ever eaten at your restaurant?
No.
Oh, God, no.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, has he ever eaten at your restaurant twice?
Excuse me.
This is so embarrassing. Salt and Smoke. Now, featuring the Hamptons.
Unless you live under a rock, you must have heard about Stormy Daniels. She is the gorgeous woman that claims to have been with our president, and she is in St. Louis with her Making America Horny Again tour at PT's Country Cabaret, Friday, April 6th and Saturday the 7th, with the first showtime at 9:30 p.m. and the second show later in the evening. Stormy has lots to say and more to show. It's not every day you get to see what the president of our country allegedly likes in his women.
Club Fitness has something for everybody. Spring is around the corner, so choose your fitness journey with free enrollment or no contract when you join in March. Winter is ending and I see the light. St. Louis is thawing out and I'm ready for working out. And with 24 locations where you work or live and 24-hour access, working out has never been easier. Spring it on, Club Fitness. Get free enrollment or no contract when you join in March. Go to clubfitness.us for more information. Some restrictions apply. See club for details.
The Post has an all-inclusive home opener party on Thursday, April 5th, when the Cardinals host the Diamondbacks. Open bar and ballpark buffets start at 5:45 and end with the final out. Before and after the party, enjoy $2 domestic and Wells or $3 you call it. A Vegas vacation will be given away at both the Maplewood and Creve Coeur locations. Tickets are only $30 at thepostsportsbar.com/promotions. Use promo code Plowboy to save 15%. The Post Sports Bar and Grill. Stay posted, my friends.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa.
Well, I don't know if he's in any of those places right now. Oh, I know he's in Fulton, Missouri. He's not in Amarillo or Fargo, but Fulton. I don't know a lot about Fulton, Missouri, and I drive through there all the time on the way to the lake. Maybe we'll learn something about it, because Bill Cleveland is here, and he's brought to you by Window World. More windows in this country have been replaced with Window World windows than any other window manufacturer. How about that? Lifetime warranty and 18 months same as cash financing with approved credit. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com. And now from Fulton, Missouri, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hey, you guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bill. Isn't that where that college is where Winston Churchill spoke or something?
Very good. I'm very impressed, Frank. You are correct. Nice job.
He Googled it, Bill. No, I didn't. I drive through all the time. There's a sign somewhere, just as a home of something or Winston Churchill. That's the only reason I knew it. I've seen it 100 times.
Yeah, well, I have driven past that sign 100 times and thought, well, you know, maybe one of these days I need to pull off the road and figure out what's actually in Fulton, Missouri. And I'm trying to do a better job, quite honestly, of exploring things in the state of Missouri. You know, we so often, this is not just in Missouri or St. Louis or whatever, we forget things that we have in our own backyard and we don't explore as much as we should. So I'm trying to do more stuff in Missouri. So here today in Fulton, as you mentioned, it is home of the National Churchill Museum. Winston Churchill was here in 1946, along with, I guess it was former, would have been former president, Harry Truman at the time, right?
Yeah, he's not the current president, is he?
No.
Oh, Mr. Smart Alec.
Yeah, thank you.
You're smarting off to Bill is actually your elder, I think. Bill, how old are you again, 33?
And actually, I was trying to say, was he former president at the time he was here in Fulton, Missouri in 1946? Mm-hmm. I realized
but, he's not the president. But somebody cut your legs out from under you before you could correct yourself. Sorry about that.
Yeah, what do you know about Churchill being a Briton?
Apparently, he once spoke at a small town called Fulton, Missouri. Back in 1946, yeah, he did a
nice
speech
job.
Or something.
Very good.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's good.
Isn't Fulton where Churchill spoke once?
What's that?
Isn't Fulton where Churchill spoke once? Winston Churchill? Have we talked about that?
Oh, my goodness. You are the smartest crowd I have ever talked to.
This
holy smokes.
This
smart.
Is unbelievable.
Has that been brought up?
Is there a prison there?
All right, let's shut up and let him do his thing.
Yeah. No, that's Folsom.
That's right.
Same thing.
Good evening, Christmas. So I went and toured the museum today. I'll have a story of BillOnTheRoad.com in a week or so, but you kind of forget about all this stuff that was going on during his time and all of the decisions that he made and, you know, how he sort of influenced in many ways our country, even though he wasn't one of our leaders. So I have some stuff up on that. You may not have known this, the largest section of the Berlin Wall in the United States is actually here in Fulton, Missouri. They have that right outside.
And how did it end up? How did it end up in Fulton, Missouri? Do you know?
Very carefully. I don't know. Thanks so much. They transported it over. Obviously, I don't know how they got it over here, but I can't remember how many feet, but it is the largest section in the United States here in Fulton. But as you might imagine, in a town like this, lots of, you know, cool little shops and restaurants. And Frank, you actually might want to pull off the highway right off of 70. There is a Auto World Museum. It's called Auto World Museum. 20,000 square feet of space dedicated to vintage automobiles. I know you love.
I've seen that thing no less than 100 times, but I've never bothered to go in because from the outside it looks like a dump. Have you been in there?
I just went in today, yeah. No, it's not a dump on the inside. There are a lot of really cool cars. I am a complete moron when it comes to cars, but
somebody should tell them if you'll make your sign nicer, it might attract more people, because just judging from the little bit of signage, I think this is nothing.
Well, apparently, I don't know the show American Pickers. You're familiar with that program?
I've heard of it.
They've done a couple of episodes inside their museum, and apparently it's a pretty hot spot for people who have belong to car clubs and things like that. So I next time, give it a shot, check it out. Auto
are World, the cars for sale?
No, they're
sale
not
or just
sale.
To look at
it's a personal collection of a gentleman, and they're all on display there. I think there were 120, and I think they have 120 in the collection. I think 88 on display at any given time. But yeah, they have everything from a DeLorean to, you know, all sorts of, you know, like crank, little crank cars and stuff. I think you'd really enjoy it if you checked it out.
So, you know what? I will stop and see it now.
All right. I have some more. Folks want to follow me and go to facebook.com/BillOnTheRoad and have some more for you tomorrow on the way home. So I'm Bill Cleveland, on the road and on 590 The Fan.
Thank you, Bill. Bill Cleveland from Fulton, Missouri. Home of the biggest chunk of the Berlin Wall anywhere. Go figure how it got there. And brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. It is true, though. I have driven. I've been going to the lake for 30. Hang on, I'll tell you how long. 37. Yeah, 37 years. And most weekends, certainly fall through spring or spring through fall. And I've seen that thing, but it's such a horrible piece of signage that I just assumed it was like, you know these places you see where it goes, Alligator Zoo.
Oh, yeah.
And world's largest display of crocodiles. And you go, and it's just a pitiful embarrassment. Some old man and his wife, and would you like a cup of lemonade? And there's like six alligators, and it's nothing. And I just kind of assume, but he says it's a pretty good car collection. I just... Again, I don't know how it ended up in Fulton. Wouldn't you think that something, if it's that nice a collection, you'd want to put it where you'd have the possibility of drawing a bigger crowd of people? Maybe that is the spot, because there are a lot of people from St. Louis that go through there to the lake. Maybe they stop and I don't. I don't know. But I'll stop now. That's like Ozark Land. That's a kingdom city. There's a big, by truck stop, it's a great big, and signage before you get there. And what is the deal with pocket knives?
Do they? I don't
pocket
know.
Knives, it's, pocket knives, billboards, big. More pocket knives.
Do they still have the walnut bowls? Running,
I have not seen walnut bowls billboards for years, but you used to always see them and wonder, goodness, who buys walnut bowls? I don't see them, but now I see the pocket knife thing all the time. And who in the world buys pocket knives? Millennials don't carry pocket knives. I don't even carry a pocket
knife. I've got a pocket knife
because
right
now. TSA. Yeah, but the TSA kind of shut that down because you know you don't want to forget that you had a pocket knife in your pocket. Who knows? Somebody's buying that stuff. I know this. The Playhouse is coming up, and we have a really one of my favorite. I got to stop saying that because I have like 100 favorite jokes, but you'll hear one of them here in a minute. So do not.